Good morning.
Will you pray with me today? Dear Lord, we just thank you for, God, this day, this chance to worship you, this chance to praise you, this chance to dig into your word. God, I pray this morning that you will take away all the distractions that go on all over, God, that everything that pulls us in different directions, that, God, we can just take this time just to lean into you, to worship you, to just hear from you today, God. There's so much that you're doing in this world and so much that you're doing in our lives. Help us to be transformed by you today. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your light. Thank you for your son. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. So have you ever gone through something in life that completely changes everything? It changes who you are. It can even change you to the point where you're unrecognizable. You know, it's actually not that common today. We see it all the time, but it can be on the news, it can be in commercials. Those are the big changes. You've seen a TV commercial for Lipozine, Weight Watchers, Nutrisystem. All those that have these people that have been absolutely transformed, that they've been changed. That on one side you get this picture that looks completely different than the other. I mean, one, usually they're kind of slouched over, they got a big belly, and they look just sad. And then the other one, they straighten up, they suck in a little bit, and they take that next picture, and you're like, man, that pill works. Woo, I need to get on that exercise. We see it, that transformation that happens, it doesn't look anything alike those two pictures do, and sometimes you wonder if they're even like the same people. If they just got like an overweight brother, and then like the little brother that never got his food and just took a picture of both of them. But transformations happen. And always during those commercials, there's always that one that comes on. You know that one, right? The one that lost like 600 pounds. And on the bottom it says, this little like disclaimer, results not typical. And it just wipes away all of your hope that transformation like could actually happen to you. A little results not typical part. You know, we all go through changes. I remember a pretty radical change in my life. In fact, it came up on my Facebook memories a couple weeks ago. I was going through and it reminded me of this transformation that happened. It was this transformation that happened my senior year of college. And it was right after Carolyn and I had gotten engaged. And in the months leading up to the wedding, one day I was getting ready for class. And I went and I was going to trim my beard. And I went to go and start. And all of a sudden, the little guide that makes sure that you get the right length on your beard, all of a sudden that just flipped off. And it just went right about here. So there wasn't any saving it. There wasn't any like blending it in. And so what ended up happening is I completely went full shaved. And luckily for you guys, you haven't seen me full shaved yet. Where's Elijah at? Elijah, can you stand up? You see his face? If I were to shave, I'd look just like Elijah. And so there was a transformation that happened. I walked down like where the classrooms were going to class, and people thought that one of the junior hires got confused when student weekend was. It was a transformation that happened that left me completely unrecognizable. But unlike that change, the change that we're going to look at today, it lasts. Unlike the Lipozine commercials or the Nutrisystem commercials, results are typical. In fact, results are expected. The change that comes in, the change that we're going to look at today, is one that's powerful. It's one that is we are invited to each as those who now know Jesus. And it's one that's noticeable. You see, when change happens, there's bound to be someone that notices. If no one really notices, the question starts to become raised, was there really that big of a change? And that's something that we see today in the book of Acts, in the life of a man named Saul. Because the transformation that happened for him, the change that happened in his life, was one that was noticed, is one that was radical. It was a complete transformation of who he was that left him unrecognizable. And we see his story, we see his change in Acts chapter 9. But before we get to his story that we see there, we have to flip back. We have to look back, because in order to see this radical change that happened in his life, we have to look at the man he was. Because honestly, if we just look at the change that happened, we wouldn't really notice that much. And part of this name, this man named Saul, that you might recognize him better as Paul, we think about him sometimes and we think of this super Christian. We think of the man who wrote like a third of our Bible. And we think of this guy, and we get this picture of him that he's going on missions trips and he's preaching the word and he's doing all these amazing things. And we think, my life could never look like that. Like, he must have just been changed into some like regular old like believer guy, into someone who God like his only change would be like super Christian, that we'd label on him. Like, when you get to writing the Bible, we think you're on a pretty high level, right? But when we look back at the change that happened, that's when we really see the transformation. That's when we really see the fact that he was made into a completely new man, that his identity was really changed. And so the story that we see, the change that happens in chapter 9, we look back to chapter 7. And we're introduced to a man named Saul. And in Acts chapter 7, we see Saul at this raw stage in his life. Before we're introduced to Saul, we're introduced to a man named Stephen. Stephen was on fire for Christ. So much that he went around telling people about the risen Savior at a time when it wasn't very popular. In fact, it was so unpopular that he was challenged by the religious leaders of the time to defend why he was proclaiming this radical love of a Savior who died for the sins of the world and was raised again to life. And this meant Stephen went off on these religious leaders, and he even accused them of being the ones who murdered the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's the backdrop of our introduction to the man Saul. In Acts chapter 7, starting with the 54th verse, it said, "When the members of the Sanhedrin heard what Stephen was saying to them, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. 'Look,' he said, 'I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' And at this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him." Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. They laid their feet, they laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. Saul was this man that was approving, that was overseeing the killing of someone on fire for God. That's where we're introduced to Saul. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "And Saul approved of their killing him." This is the man we see. The man who in Acts chapter 8, verse 3, it says, "But Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off both men and women and put them in prison." This is the man that we're introduced to, Saul. A bloodthirsty murderer looking to go out with the mission of destroying the church. And I want you to recognize that Luke, in writing this book, Saul, who's in this story, they see the church for what it really is. When it says that he set out to destroy the church, they knew that the church was not a building. They weren't trying to be a demolition crew. They recognized that the church was its people. And so what this mission looked like to destroy the church was less of a mission and more of a hit list. That's the man that we see. A man on a single mission to destroy the church. But then. But then we get the story that follows closely in Acts chapter 9. The story of a man transformed. The story that starts out with the words, "While Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples." At that time, when Saul was still in his anger, in his fury, in his rage that was going after God's people, that had the mission of destroying the church, it was at that moment when Jesus shows up and steps into Saul's life. And the change transforms this zealous murderer into a man that will preach the Lord's love. The story in Acts chapter 9 goes that while Saul was traveling to a town called Damascus to carry out the mission of pursuing and persecuting the church, he was stopped in his tracks. There's a light that flashes in front of him, and he literally gets knocked off of his high horse and is flat on his back when the Lord comes to him. Saul meets the risen Jesus, who asks him, "Why are you persecuting me?" This encounter left him blind for a time. But this encounter was one that would bring him to a faithful man. A faithful man who is courageous enough as a Christian man to take him into his home. And what's amazing here, story that doesn't get told very much, is this man was a Christian who was bringing in Saul, this guy that was notorious for killing Christians, and he's willing to take him in. And he's willing to be faithful to where God is leading this man, and he takes him in. This man who may have had him at the top of his hit list. And before we get to the end of the story and what Saul was transformed into, I want us to recognize who he was before this. Who he is right now in this moment. Because this story, the story, we look at it as a radical example in the Bible, one that we don't usually relate to very well. One that we look at and say, "Wow, that was amazing that happened so long ago." But that really, that's just for Saul going to be called to be a super Christian. That's really just for a man called to go out and start planting churches. That's the only reason that God would do this big of a transformation. That's the only reason that God would show up like this. But what I want us to look at is that both sides of who we see Saul in this story, both sides of it are ones that we're challenged to relate to. And ones that each of the people who find themselves sitting in the pews on a Sunday morning can find themselves in. And so I want to take a look at who Saul was. First, Saul was one that was blind to who Christ is. When we first read about Saul, he gets up and he has this encounter with Jesus, and when he opens his eyes, he sees nothing. Saul is blinded. And we notice that this isn't only an observation about his physical situation, but this is really a reflection of his spiritual reality. Paul gets up and he is blinded. He realizes that his sight is gone, his vision is gone. He can't see. It's interesting because Saul was part of this group that Jesus had talked to and talked about many times. You wouldn't think that Saul would be a man who was blind spiritually. But when it came to the reality of it, he just couldn't see. You know, my brother has started a new job this year. And part of my brother's job, he's a one-on-one associate with the high school where we grew up. And his job is to work with this young man who's been blind since birth. And so he goes out and he helps him get from class to class. He helps him with some of his work and everything. And this young man who's been blind from birth, my brother has a video on his phone that he showed me last time I was back. And it's a video of this young man, the young blind man playing the piano. And my brother goes and he gets this young man's hand set up just right and helps him and has to direct him very, very specifically, very hands-on. Show him where it was and in this video, because of careful direction, you just hear my brother in the background say, G-C-F. Just calling out different keys on the piano, and this young blind man is beginning to play piano. Playing not just keys, but beautiful music. This young man who's blind has such potential. And that's where we find Saul. Jesus confronts him as someone who has been blind spiritually from the day he was born. But he sees potential in the love that he has for a God that he doesn't truly know. He sees that potential and he encourages those around him, puts him at a place where they literally have to take him by the hand and direct them to where he needs to go, so that he can begin to proclaim who Christ really is. There was great potential. There only needed to be someone to take him by the hand. Today, there are those who need to be taken by the hand, who need to be led because spiritually they're blind, they cannot see. And maybe today that's you. And if you find yourself blind, allow somebody to take you by the hand and to lead you. Maybe it's someone you came with today. Maybe it's someone that you're just meeting today. But if you find yourself in an area where you know that there is so much out there and you just can't see it, allow yourself to be taken by the hand and led. There are those that are willing to walk with you. And we see that happens for Saul, can happen today, that the scales are removed from his eyes. And Saul not only sees what's in front of him, but he sees clearly who Christ is. And it's an amazing, amazing transformation. He can see truly for the first time the truth. Saul had something else. There was a part of Saul, the second part of Saul, that was maybe even harder to change than the physical. You see, Saul had this sense of pride. Saul was one who thought he had it all figured out. When we're introduced to Saul, he is a prodigy. He is a young leader of leaders. Saul's name was the name of kings. His position was secure in the ranks of the religious royals. In his own words, we see later on that he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Righteousness based on the law, he was flawless. But God had to transform his religion to a set of rules. He had to transform that into a relationship with him. And this wasn't the first time that we're introduced to this idea in Scripture. This wasn't the first time that we see this happening in the way that people are interacting with Jesus. Jesus talks in Matthew chapter 7. And he's talking about those who will one day come to him and will say to us, Lord, Lord. He says, they'll come to me saying, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not do all these religious things? He says, on that day I will say to them, depart from me, for you never knew me. That's where the transformation had to happen for Paul. Because he could go up to the Lord and he could say, Lord, Lord, I know all the rules. Lord, Lord, I have the first 5 books of the Bible memorized, at least. He may have had more than that. Say, Lord, Lord, I've done all the sacrifices. Lord, Lord, I've taught all the people. Lord, Lord, I've done the religion. The question was, did he really know Jesus? And so that was what he was challenged with, and that's what we are challenged with today. Because for Saul, that would mean admitting that he was wrong. I mean, looking at his life and recognizing that he didn't have all the answers. Who he thought Jesus was needed to be transformed. And part of what that meant is all of that religion that his pride was founded in, all of his religious acts, all of his religious knowledge, all of his religion was for nothing. Because the reality was, because of the message of who Jesus is, the reality is that we are not saved by our religion. We're saved by Jesus. We are not saved because of what we've done. We're saved because of what Jesus has done. So if the relationship isn't there, then the religion was worthless. And what a change that would be for Saul. So Saul had to ask himself the question, who truly is Jesus? He had to open his eyes to who Christ is so he could see who he was. And that's the place where we can find ourselves. Either not knowing who Jesus truly is, or having our pride in believing that we have it all figured out. And Jesus had to confront both of these in Saul. But the beautiful thing about these change stories that we've been looking at for the last 6 weeks, the amazing thing about each of these stories is who Jesus transforms people into. It's not about who the people were, but who God transforms them to be. And those are the things that are amazing to celebrate. So let's take a look at that. In Acts chapter 9, it tells us about who Saul began, who Saul became. In Acts chapter 9, starting with verse 20, it says, "At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, 'Is this the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among all those who call on this name? Hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?'" Saul was transformed into a person that they absolutely didn't recognize. They had to double take at Saul's new message. It says, "Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah." It's amazing what happens. It says, "After many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. But Saul learned of his plan day and night. They kept a close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, and it increased in numbers." It was amazing, the transformation that happened in Saul's life. One that would take him and transform him from one that was going out and killing to, amazingly enough, one that people were coming to try to kill themselves because he was so zealous, so passionate about telling the world about Jesus Christ. And so I hope that we're able to be transformed to people who are building up the church. We're people who can look and see who we were, see our faults, see the times when we're wrong, see the mistakes, see our own pride, and can humble ourselves. Go to Jesus and allow him to transform us. And let us pray that the church throughout Martell, throughout Iowa, and the United States can enjoy a time of peace and be strengthened by God's word, living in fear of the Lord, encouraged by the Holy Spirit, that God can increase in us. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, help us to be changed by you. Help us to know who you are. Because God, when we know who you are, we are blown away. There's only one choice to make. When we see who you are, we have no choice to be humble about who we are. Lord, transform us. God, change us to be more like you each and every day. Help us to go out with passion, with boldness, proclaiming your word. Proclaiming that our salvation isn't by the things that we do, by the knowledge that we have, but Lord, it's only through your Son, Jesus Christ. So Lord, we thank you. We love you, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand and sing with us?